Welcome to Mastering Your Money. I'm Ed Fulbright, CPA, PFS. This is where personal and business finances meet for your independence plan. I've been asked by our listeners to remind everyone to get a notepad and pencil because we're a financial education program to turbocharge your drive on the financial freedom highway. If you have a question, need help finding your way onto the financial freedom highway, or just want more information about Mastering Your Money shows, visit MasteringYourMoney.com for business and personal finance ideas. Sign up for our free e-newsletter and check out our Mastering Your Money online section for old shows. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a family wealth plan. Well, you know, some people sent me emails saying, hey, Ed, how do we do this? So let me kind of illustrate that every parent wants the best for their children. If possible, most parents would like to leave their children a nice fortune. Well, today we will discuss the possibilities of leaving your children or grandchildren. Probably this is more for grandchildren, but it could be for children depending on where you are. We're talking about $50 million, folks, and this is by investing $3,000 and the challenges that may prevent you from doing so. Joining us for our discussion on turning $3,000 to $50 million is Paul Merriman, who is calling from his Seattle, Washington office. Paul is a nationally recognized authority on mutual funds, index investing, asset allocation, and both buy and hold and active management strategies. He's now retired from Merriman, but the educating investors young and old through weekly articles on MarketWatch. He does it through his complimentary e-books, podcasts, articles, recommendation for mutual funds, ETF, 401k, and others at paulmerriman.com. He has three complimentary ebooks there, The First Time Investor, 101 Decisions Guaranteed to Change Your Financial Future, and Get Smart or Get Screwed. And those are three different ebooks. And Paul, let me welcome you back to Mastering Your Money, Paul Merriman, folks.
Hey, Ed, it's great to be back. I have to laugh because I think the last time I was on with you,
yes,
I was still working.
Yes.
And I was in a Seattle office, but now I'm retired and I'm speaking to you from the pantry in my house, okay?
Well, Paul, you know, you put out a newsletter, so I guess the pantry's your office. So you get a snack and keep on working.
Oh, my. You know, you've just broke the code. Maybe this is the reason I'm still 40 pounds overweight.
Yeah, you know, you said you've lost 3,000 pounds. So I think that was the last time you told us that, and the last time we chatted. But right now you've got three ebooks. We just talked about them. The First Time Investor, The 101 Decisions Guaranteed to Change Your Financial Future, and Get Smart or Get Screwed. So these are complimentary, basically free. So since you're retired, ebooks are free. Why are you still doing these interviews and promoting financial education?
Well, because that's what my life is about now, Ed. I had the good fortune of starting an investment advisory firm that we grew from nothing to $1.6 billion. And then in 2012, I sold out and I took a big piece of what I got for the business and put it into a financial education foundation. And my life, by the way, my life since 1983 has been devoted to educating people how to take care of their money on their own. When I was an advisor, I always said, if you won't do this on your own, let me help you. But today, all of my work just stops right there. I'll show you how to do it on your own, because I am no longer in the business, but I am devoted to helping people add 1 or 2% to that compound rate of return, and we all know what that is, truly life-changing.
Yes, that's a big situation that you, if you can add an extra 1 or 2% to your return over a lifetime or even 20 or 30 years, because most people are spending 30 years in retirement, and that can make a huge difference in what you leave to your children. Well, actually, it can make a huge difference in how you live.
You know something, Ed, that's often overlooked. We think that the big difference is only from the time that we start investing until retirement. But in one of my the most popular articles about distributions, I do show how an extra half of 1% can lead to four times as much money in retirement, including leaving it to others. A half of 1%. So any extra money can be golden over the long term.
Sure, sure. And that's an important thing that people need to understand, that if you can get a bit of extra money, and we're not talking about you doing something careless or too risky, but just trying to get an extra 1 or 2% when you can, or being smart about it. And that's the big thing that I think most people miss.
Well, and Ed, I think you've just hit, I think, on a very important topic about investing. I believe, after 50 years of experience in this industry, that it is defense, not offense, that makes you the most money over a lifetime. If you look at every step you take towards successful investing, virtually all but one is a matter of defense rather than offense.
Okay. And so when you talk about defense, you're talking about having a certain amount of your money allocated to safe investments like high quality fixed income and things of that nature.
Well, that would be true at my age. I mean, I'm 50-50
sure.
Stocks and bonds at
sure.
age 73, but I'm talking about low expenses. That's defense.
Yes.
You're protecting yourself from the risk
yes.
of high expenses.
Yes. Yes.
I'm talking about unnecessary turnover.
Yes.
Again, it's defense, not offense, and of course, broad, massive diversification. Another huge step to defense, and yet you do not sacrifice 1 ounce of long-term returns. In fact, you probably earn more by being defensive.
Okay, and that makes sense. That you're basically saying control the things you can control. You can control the expenses that your investments are charging you, and so that you're doing smart things with your money.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. Is every step you take, you should ask yourself, is there a way to do better by taking less risk? And in almost every fork in the road, there is, which is what that book about 101 investment decisions guaranteed to change your financial future.
Sure.
All I did was take 100 approximately forks in the road, and I said, here's what we know about the past. Here's what that means in terms of the right decision at every fork along the way.
So let's talk a little bit about this great idea that you have to basically be able to leave your kids or grandchildren, maybe even your great-grandchildren, this $50 million after investing only $3,000. So let's chat about this. You recommended that a parent or a grandparent invest $3,000 into a small cap value fund or ETF, and preferably in a Roth IRA. You're talking about earning 12% over a 95-year period of time, and you basically end up with about $50 million.
Okay, Ed, you're mostly right, but would you allow me to break it
sure,
down
please,
into the little
please
steps?
Do. Because please do.
You know, it does take some patience and it takes some discipline.
Yes.
What you do is you put that $3,000 away. Now, you could make it a Uniform Gift to Minors Act account,
yes.
but I suggest you keep it in your own name because I want you to maintain as grandpa, grandma, or mom and dad. I want you to maintain control kind of as long as you can here.
Sure.
Then what you do is you put that $3,000, it's earmarked, let's say, for the grandchild.
Right.
You put it into an asset class that has a long history of providing a premium for the risk, and you leave it in that account until the child starts to earn money that can be put, money can be matched into a Roth IRA, for example. So
okay.
they start age 18, they make $1,500. All right, $1,500 comes out of that account, goes into a Roth IRA. And you keep doing that until the money you put aside, the $3,000, is over in a Roth IRA. Now, you let that alone, you don't add any more to it, and it stays there, and let's say until the child is 65 years old. Now you start taking some money out. Now, you're not going to have $50 million at age 95,
no.
But here's what you're going to have, Ed. You're going to have out of that what you had at age 65, and you start drawing on it, between 65 and 95, and children born today have a high probability of making it to 95, they're going to take out about $20 million. Then they die, and they would leave about $30 million. Now, I know it just seems off the chart, but when you look at inflation...
Yes.
And I've got a table that shows this all inflation adjusted. It isn't nearly as much as our brain is making us think it is. It's probably what they're going to need.
I know. I can hear listeners stretching, Ed, what in the blankety blank are you trying to tell us here? You and that Paul Merriman dude, I'm not sure what's going on. But I got what you're saying, but you've got to stick with the plan because there may be some years in which that small cap value is not delivering this 12% return.
Oh, no. Of course. This is not a straight line. This is not Bernie Madoff at work here. This is a matter of being in an asset class that has almost 90 years of evidence of producing over 12%. In fact, if you looked at every 40-year period since 1928, and I've got an article about this as well, that it would show you the average return for all the 40-year period starting in 1928, 16%. Ed, I don't expect 16. Could I think that 12 is realistic? Listen, if the S&P 500 makes 10 like it has for the last 90 years...
Yes. Yes.
Then it's not unreasonable for small cap value to make 12.
Right. You've just got to be willing to stick with it for at least 40 years.
Yes. And here's, in fact, I'm thinking 95. And here's the reason that it makes sense to me. If you listen to the experts like Warren Buffett.
Yes.
Warren Buffett would say, my favorite investment period is forever. Okay. Let's say that forever is the right decision. You put your money into something that should give you a great return forever.
Yes.
I couldn't ever tell you what individual company that might be.
Right.
But small cap value, there's all sorts of reasons why it should, in fact, have a legitimate shot at that 12%.
Well, that's really where your smaller companies are coming from. They're developing and that's where the growth is going to come. And basically, they're going to get the higher rates of return that you're expecting and what you're looking for. But you have to stick with the course. And that's going to be the big challenge.
Well, I think that's the challenge of every investor, Ed. Why is it, according to the Dalbar people, that the public gets about one-third in terms of return from equities, U.S. equities? They make about one-third what the S&P 500 has. What is it that's standing in the way of people getting what they deserve? And it's not that they're not smart enough to get it, because all they have to do is put it into an index fund. It's because they don't have the patience.
Yes, that's the big thing, that people have to be patient. And I know some people say, well, I got to live for now. I can't wait. And I guess that's one of the reasons why you wanted to keep it in the parents' name, so that you could control, or they can control, who gets the money during the lifetime.
Well, actually, to be fair,
yes,
there is a point at which we're passing the baton to somebody else, because when that child starts making money and you're taking the proceeds that you put aside and you're putting that into a Roth IRA up to the $5,500 limit, the reality is that now belongs to the child. And if
yes,
they want to, they can cash it out. And here is the point, that delayed gratification, that is so important to teach that. In fact, the studies show that young people who can delay gratification are more likely to be successful parents, fun, nice friends to have, and they're going to make more money and be more successful. It pays a huge bonus. Forget about the $50 million.
Sure.
Just learning delayed gratification was going to change your life anyway.
For those who just joined us, the name of the show is Mastering Your Money. I'm Ed Fulbright, CPA PFS, and we've been discussing Turning 3,000 into 50 Million with Paul Merriman. He's the author of three complimentary ebooks that you can find on paulmerriman.com. Do you have questions on your finances? You may email them to info@masteringyourmoney.com. For more information about Mastering Your Money shows, visit MasteringYourMoney.com for business and personal finance ideas. Sign up for our free e-newsletter and check out our Mastering Your Money online section for old shows. We'll be back in a few to teach you more lessons on strengthening your independence plan. Welcome back to Mastering Your Money. I'm Ed Fulbright, CPA PFS. And we've been having a discussion with Paul Merriman. He's the author of three complimentary ebooks on paulmerriman.com. And we've been talking about turning $3,000 into $50 million. And I know people are like, whoa, what are you talking about, Ed? They might even be talking about, well, Ed, I can't come up with $3,000. We got something for you in a moment. So stay tuned. And, you know, let's face it. You've got to get a 12% return, and you've got to leave the money in control for 95 years. That's going to be very, very tough for people to do. But let's just say you only make it till your kid turns 65. You know, an extra million, $2 million, let's face it, inflation may make $1 million seem like candy money. Yeah. But Paul, I want to bring you back in here because that's a big deal. And, you know, children and grandchildren have a lot of expenses. And I know parents are having a lot of challenges. So how do you prevent this money from being spent for just normal expenses?
Well, I think and that goes along with another question that just came to my mind when you were talking about the challenge of putting away $3,000. You could do this with $1,000.
Okay.
Which would suggest that instead of $50 million, that'll be $14 million, okay?
Okay. Not bad.
And you can get 10% instead of 12%, which means instead of $50 million, you get $10
million. Right, right.
So there's, it doesn't have to be perfect for it to be meaningful. But as far as the challenges for the children, the challenges for these children are the same challenges every investor I know has. And that is that Wall Street is doing all they can, when I say to strip you of your money, what I mean by that is they've got their own idea of what your money should be doing right now.
Sure,
because
sure.
If they can't get you to change from what you're doing into something they have to sell, then they don't make any money off of you. And that's what you're good for, is them making money off of you.
Right, 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 right.
So that's the biggest challenge. They're going to paint pictures of greatness at the same time as companies are going to try to convince you, wouldn't you look great in that Mercedes-Benz? They all want to strip you of your money.
Right.
And if we can't convince young people that they're at war with people who want their lifetime to their lifestyle to change for the good of the people selling them something, then I think they're not going to be able to win this battle.
Because I believe that every time you turn on the TV, somebody's trying to separate you from your money. You know, it may be for stuff you need for ordinary living, but a lot of times it's just stuff that are luxury items that doesn't necessarily add a huge amount of value to your life other than what you may perceive how it makes your image appear.
Yes. And this society is so consumer driven that it seems normal to do things that are going to hurt you in the long run.
Sure.
And that's hard to teach. I have a university class that I sponsor at Western Washington University. It's full every quarter. And it's all about the simple steps you take to do the right things about your money, and then the money you have to put aside, do the right thing in putting it aside. If we can just teach young people this, I think it'll make a huge difference. The problem, Ed, is that they're not ready to learn it until they're in college, and not everybody gets into college.
I got you. Well, you know, shows like this and the podcast that you do at your website, I think, could help stimulate that education. So I know you'd selected the small cap value because of its long tradition and 95 years of returning large returns. The next thing you said, you told me, is that we talked about only doing $1,000. I think you have another plan that might lower the amount of money to from $1,000 to even $365 per year, or $30.50 a month. So that seems like something that most people could obtain. So can you elaborate on that plan?
Of course, of course. It turns out that whether you put the $3,000 in up front and then just let it grow to then convert to a Roth IRA, it's the same end result if for 21 years you put away the $365. Now, let's be realistic. Now, I've got a handful of grandkids. I don't just have one grandchild. So even $365
a
month could be difficult. But it could be $100 a year, not $365.
Right. Right.
I don't want to put up any barriers to being able to do this. You and I have preached for years, if you can't save $1,000 a month for retirement, okay, can you save $50 a year for retirement? Get something going.
Right.
So I'm trying to do this in a way that anybody theoretically could learn from this. And by the way, this is a generation changer. You do this once and have it work. You now have something that the whole family can celebrate, and those that have the good fortune to have this happen to them can help other people in the family. I know a lot of people who are doing this for nieces and nephews.
Yes, yes. And that can make a major difference. And if you don't qualify for a Roth IRA, you can do a Roth conversion for the $3,000. Yeah, you're going to pay taxes on it. But the big issue is that you're setting aside money for the future of your grandchildren or the future wealth of your family. And that becomes the big issue that a lot of people don't end up making a, I guess, moving forward. You want to get a leg up. And that's really why people leave money, is that they're trying to give their family a leg up. And I think that's really what you're trying to do, right, Paul?
Well, it is. It's supposed to be life changing, and the fact is that if somebody puts away that $3,000 today for a newborn child, and by the time that child is entering college, we don't have free education for people in that particular income bracket, then I guess the grandparent or the parent could let the child use it for college. I would like to see the possibility that in fact that $3,000 could stay the course in this whole process, but there are always hills to climb in this process. It's never going to be easy. The problem is that the industry sells optimism and doesn't prepare people for the tough times, personal tough times or financial tough times, because there's nothing easy about investing in the stock market. You're guaranteed to lose money sometimes. And if you are guaranteed, do you want to do it? Well,
yes.
If the payoff is big enough, I do want to do it.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the big problem that most people have, is that if they lose money, they typically want to get out of the market. And then they never get back in until it hits all-time highs.
Successful investing is counterintuitive, which is the reason that so many people fail at it. They fail to realize that a market that is down and dirty is good. A market that's high and making everybody feel like celebrating is bad. You got to be backwards on this. You got to think counterintuitively.
Right. You want to buy low, sell high.
By the way, I don't want you trying to time the market.
No.
I want you dollar cost averaging. Just keep doing it no matter what.
You do it each and every month, and it should work out very well for you.
And in fact, for young people that might be listening, the further the market goes down, those first 10 years that you start investing, the better off you are.
Right.
Now, their grandparents aren't going to feel like that, but the kids should feel like that.
Well, Paul, that's a great idea. What is the best advice you've ever received?
I collect quotes. I love quotes. I love Warren Buffett has one. You don't save what's left over after spending. You spend what's left over after saving. I'm paraphrasing, but I love that quote. I love Buffett's other quote, and that is that success is a matter of a few right things. I'm screwing this up, but I'm close. To be a success, you only have to do a few things right as long as you don't do too many things wrong.
Right.
But if there's ever a specific piece of advice about, you know, really step-by-step kind of advice, that is, never take a risk for which there is not a long-term premium. In other words, give you one example. Never buy an individual stock because there is no evidence that individual stock is going to do any better than the average of all the stocks of that asset class. But you still, with that one stock, run the risk of going out of business and losing everything. On the other hand, if you owned all of the stocks in that asset class, called an index fund,
yes,
you would get the average. You would accomplish what you're trying to do, and you get the premium. But with one stock, you don't necessarily get that premium. In fact, it can lead to a total wipeout.
Paul, very quickly, can you tell us what you want our listeners to remember and the power of the letter to the child or grandchild?
Well, in this particular case, I invite your listeners to go to paulmerriman.com and
yes,
look at best advice, and you'll see a whole write-up on this $3,000 plan.
Sure.
I want you to understand that small steps can build pyramids in this industry. Over your lifetime and multiple lifetimes, you just need to learn those small steps. It's called an education, and that's what my website is all about.
Well, I'd like to thank Paul Merriman for his time, information, and education. And for more information on Paul Merriman, you may visit his website, paulmerriman.com. And we will, if you go to our blog or to Twitter, you can link to us, and we will include that on the blog when we release this episode. So for our listeners, I encourage everyone to get involved in determining whether or not they have a choice of working or not. If you don't care about your life in retirement, no one else will. Don't just hope to retire to 40% less income. Make sure you can stop working without worrying about the price of gas. You can afford to visit your children and grandkids. If you're not saving at least 10% or more of your income, please take the following steps. Go to the mirror, hold a meeting with yourself, decide to take a 3% pay cut, and contribute to your company 401k plan. If you take a raise and give half of it to your 401k, increase your exposure to stocks to at least 60% of your 401k, split it between large and small cap, value and blend, U.S. and international. Use fixed income to stabilize your retirement account. Remember, your money and your life are terrible things to waste. I would like to thank our tech director, Alshadre Dawson, for making the show possible. I would also like to thank Willie Jolly for our theme music. Mastering Your Money is recorded in the studio of WNCU, licensed to North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. You're hearing this valuable information on a listener-supported radio station. Please support this station with your charitable giving. Thank you in advance for sharing your treasure. This is Ed Fulbright, CPA, PFS, signing off until our next exciting show to help you turbocharge your drive on the Financial Freedom Highway. Thank you for tuning in, and join us next time.